You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Welcome to Speak. Emmanuel Acho is off today, but we're keeping it rolling. I'm Joy Taylor, joined by my brothers, James Jones.
What's cracking?
Super Bowl champion and two-time Super Bowl champion. All decade.
Sweet, nice. You know what I'm saying? Two-time.
All-time leading rusher. You know, Shady likes the one I do the extra long introduction.
Yeah, I got a couple of them.
All the accolades. Yeah. Future Hall of Famer.
Yeah. I mean, it's a lot of accolades.
University of Pittsburgh alumni.
Yeah. All Big East player of the year. Like, we can just keep going if y'all really want to do this.
He ain't doing nothing.
He got drafted from Pitt. Let's start actually in Pittsburgh in the 4-1-2. My hometown, the Steelers, made a big move over the weekend. I like this. I love Pittsburgh in the show over the past couple weeks. Justin Fields, he is now in Pittsburgh. The news follows the Steelers signing Russell Wilson a few days earlier. Now, reports say Mike Tomlin reached out to Russ to let him know he will be the starter. So Russ came in. They're like, maybe there'll be a little competition because Kenny Pickett's still there. They send Kenny Pickett to the other side of the state, Philadelphia. Bring in Justin Fields.
Yep.
Being very interesting. But, James, are you buying that Russell Wilson is the Steelers' starting quarterback?
For week one, I am. I'm buying that. And I love what Tomlin did, right? You trade for Justin Fields, who was a guy that played a lot of football. We know that when he plays at a high level, he can play at a high level, right, in spurts. To let the world know, the starting quarterback is Russell Wilson. So any good throw that Justin Fields makes in training camp, pump your brakes. Russell Wilson is the starter. There is no quarterback competition in training camp. But Russell Wilson is on a $1 million deal. Shady, you know it best. When you're not making no money, they'll replace you quick. Very, very quick. So if he does not get in there and play at a high level and the Steelers start off slow, I believe they made this draft pick with Justin Fields to say Russell Wilson could be this placeholder for max 2 years. And then we have a young quarterback that developed under Russell Wilson, that learned the system. We're built defense by defense. He doesn't have to get in here and be a superstar. We let him come in here and be the quarterback of the future. But Russell Wilson has to play well if he wants to keep his job and Justin Fields does not see that field. Because I truly believe they still going to have some packages for Justin Fields to get in there and still be able to play the game of football.
Watch this. What are those packages? Mostly running.
Read option.
Yeah. I love that idea.
Yeah,
I mean, hey, listen, you gotta do something good. Because winning and throwing passes ain't your thing. Anyway, I'm going to say this, Joey. I'm just going to just take over this part. You ask me, do I believe it? Yeah. What else they going to do? Start Justin Fields?
You are so.
Listen, man, listen. The thing about Justin Fields is, like, we get so excited when we talk about his talent. Right. We're talking about his ceiling. His ceiling's way up there. I get it. The reason why I think Russell is the perfect fit for the Steelers and he will remain a starter is because everything that they need, he presents. He's mobile enough, right? Mm-hmm. He's used to playing under a controlled offense. Russell's best days to me is when they had a great running game with Marshawn Lynch and they had a good defense. I'm sorry, a great defense, right? Legion of Boom. That's what they had.
Right.
And that's when he was going to Super Bowls, winning them, going to Super Bowls back-to-back. That's what they were doing. So when you ask me, is he going to lose his job? How? If you give me the same Russell that was in Denver the last year, that's what the Steelers need. They're a defensive team. They're going to run the ball, play good defense, and they're coached very well. So they competed in the hardest division in football without a quarterback.
Yeah.
Now you get a solid one. Now, I do think that Justin Fields will have different packages to run the ball, right? Not particularly throwing the ball as much, but more using his legs, using his talent, getting him out on the perimeter a little bit, because he is talented.
Yeah.
But as far as taking his team to the playoffs and being a competitor and the AFC, yeah, they need Russell.
Yeah, I don't think it's close. I think Russ is the starting quarterback.
No doubt he gonna
now,
start.
I love this move because it makes sense, mm-hmm, right? Go get a backup quarterback. Kenny Pickett's not there. Get a young guy that still has some potential, can develop under who is the starting quarterback, yeah, in Russell Wilson, but who doesn't have a long-term deal.
Yeah.
If Russ plays at a really high level, which we all think he's still capable of doing,
no question,
he's going to get a deal. They just gave Kirk Cousins $100 million, 35 years old, coming off of an Achilles.
Seen it.
Russ is not 35 years old. Is at the current moment not coming off of anything. If he plays at a high level, he still has a big market, which the Steelers may not want to do. Mm-hmm. So this is a prove-it year for Russ.
No question.
Maybe the Steelers will keep him.
Yep.
Maybe they won't. Mm-hmm. But to have no one coming in behind him is a crazy plan. So I like that they did it. But let's be serious for 1 second. Mm-hmm. Take aside just trying to just race the first year of Russ in Denver. I know it's difficult because it was horrible.
It's been a race for me. It's been a race. I forget what happened.
It was bad.
I forget. You got to tell me about it one day.
Yeah, I don't want to talk about it. I'm trying to suppress the memory. But this last year, we can't compare anything that Justin Fields has done to what Russ is. Just last year.
Oh, when he came back off the injury, he did
James,
play some good football.
We got to be serious.
Justin,
there's.
He was 4-2.
He was 4-2? Yeah.
He was 4-2.
Russell Wilson.
Are we going to talk about the 10-28? 10 wins, 28 losses, yeah, as a starter. He's never thrown for 300 yards.
How are you remembering Justin Fields and you ain't remembering Russ's first year? We've got to forget that.
For 300
yards. We
got
to forget Russ's. The year Russ was bad, Justin Fields was bad also. So we're just going to talk about just last year.
I'm just saying, Coach Tomlin, last season,
mm-hmm,
he drafted a first-round quarterback. This first-round quarterback, before getting injured, even though he had nothing to do with it, were winning some football games strictly because the defense.
Right.
Mason Rudolph came into the game. The first round quarterback was healthy, and they said, sit back.
Okay.
So I'm just saying, if Russell Wilson gets up in this game and he's making $1 million to play that the Pittsburgh Steelers are paying him, and he doesn't play well, I can see Justin Fields coming in that game. I agree with you, Joy. If he does play well, then I think this is a perfect marriage, and they are going to give him more years if he's playing well in the Pittsburgh system. But if he's not,
I don't think it's not just not play well. Russ is going to have to be horrific for them to take him out of the starting position. Like, it's going to have to be something that we're all genuinely okay with. Like, yeah, like maybe there needs to be a change. Yeah. And it's a general conversation that everyone is having.
So
that is
like
the gap.
Kind of like a Kenny Pickett, like defense playing well and our quarterback ain't making it.
Yes,
I think there is that
much of a gap between Russell Wilson and Justin Fields at this point. It's not that I don't think Justin Fields is talented, but Russ, despite having struggled recently in the past 2 years, is still someone that has won a Super Bowl. It's still someone who has gone back to a Super Bowl. Still someone that was a franchise quarterback for a very long time, has played at a very high level.
No,
we have not seen Justin Fields consistently play at a high level. We have seen spurts of good.
Yeah.
I don't even know if I can go to high level. We've seen him play good. We have seen Russ be excellent. We have seen Russ win a Super Bowl. That is very difficult to do. So I think Russ would have to struggle significantly for there to be a change over at quarterback. I think they brought Justin Fields in to develop,
and that
is what he should be focused on doing, because he's in a great situation behind a really good quarterback, a veteran guy in a veteran system, in a established culture, with great coaching, great defense. Nothing is on him. This is an ideal situation for Justin Fields.
And you keep talking about money. I look at it differently, though. I think if Russ goes in there and just plays well. Don't play great, just play well.
Yeah.
And they winning games, they gonna win. If the quarterback plays well with the Steelers, they gonna win games.
I agree.
They've been winning it without it. So I think he gets a super discount extension, 2-3 years.
Yeah.
Right? Because he ain't gonna, first of all, when you're on your last leg like that and you ain't playing dominant all-pro ball, you're gonna take a contract.
No question.
Right? And they
That's
actually
the right situation.
And they came to get me, cool, it makes sense. And they offer him a solid deal if he's playing well in the middle of the year, he's gonna take that.
No, and I agree with both y'all. If Russ plays well, I'm all for an extension. I am. If Russ plays bad, Russ is not gonna be in that game with Justin Fields being behind him. Because no extension is coming if Russell Wilson is playing bad. So why not see what Justin Fields can do with what we got for the future?
Maybe if they're out the playoffs, put him in, but you speak of this young man as if he's like the savior. We haven't watched these 38 games, almost 40, 10 wins, 28 losses as the starter.
I'm excited for his check.
Throwing for 300 yards, one game. So you speak of this guy as if he's like the savior, like, because I watched tape on him. Yeah. And there's nothing that shows me, like, yo, we got to get him in to win this game.
And that's why I agree with what Tomlin's doing. Come in here. I'm letting you know, young fella, already you are the backup. Don't even worry about competing for a starter.
I mean, I don't think he thought that. You think he thought, like, you?
I would. You traded for me, I would. Wait, let me come in here and compete.
Six
I don't care what it is. Let me come in here and compete.
No, it was 6 round.
But at the end of the day, I love taking the controversy out of it. This is a starter. Yes. You learn. You get better. I hope Russell Wilson goes in here and plays at a high level.
Too.
I truly do. I want Russell Wilson to play well.
Come on, Russ.
I want the Steelers to be good.
Come on, Russ.
He doesn't.
I just think he'll have to be really bad. But you mentioned the 6th round pick. The Bears received a conditional 2025 6th round pick for Justin Fields. He is a former 1st round pick. Shady, are you surprised that the Bears got so little for Justin Fields?
You know what's crazy, man? I had an argument with a lot of my ex-teammates and guys I respect in football, and they thought I was tripping.
Yeah.
Like, he should have got more than that. I'm like, well, why?
Well, I be thinking you're tripping sometimes.
This is the thing, though. No. This is a serious question. America, all the viewers out there, think about this for a second. Or ask yourself, if they got a 6th round draft pick, right, and it depends how well he plays or how many minutes he plays or how many games he plays, that it goes to a 4th rounder, right?
Right.
Well, my thing is, it took this long to get this trade done for a 6th rounder. What you think teams are offering? Yo, I got a 7 rounder for you. Yo, look, I got some. That's who he is. That's what he's been showing. So my thing is, like, they got lucky with this 6 rounder. I personally ain't.
With a 6 rounder?
James, I say it like this. The Bears are holding on to this pick, or holding on to this player to get the best pick, right? Yeah. The best situation, best trade. Mm-hmm. And the first time they get a solid offer, they jump on it.
Yeah.
6 rounder, do it right now. Boom.
I just think.
Think about that, though. But what I'm saying is, you had all this time to really negotiate this trade. You didn't have to do it tomorrow. And they did it. That lets me know that there wasn't a big offer or wasn't a big window for teams to really want Justin Fields.
So let's be serious for a second.
I'm dead serious. I am dead serious.
When the season ended.
Look at my
ended,
suit. You know I'm serious.
When
look
the
at my
season
suit.
Ended. No, see, you're not serious. When the season ended, right, and. Because I thought it was a possibility he could stay. You never thought that. So when,
I never thought that.
I know, so that's what
I'm saying. And I was always right.
So when the season ended,
mm-hmm.
did you think that he would get traded for a higher pick, or do you always thought that 6th round, 7th round was going to be?
Yeah, some Doritos, nachos, yeah. I thought he was going for a late draft pick.
What? Did you?
Yo, and I hate to do this because you get mad at me about it, but how many people are knocking on the Chicago Bears door to go out there and get Justin Fields?
Yeah.
I'll be honest. I did not think they were getting higher than a 4th round draft pick for Justin Fields. So. And I did not think that they were going to risk all of their careers to keep Justin Fields and pass on Caleb Williams.
Good point.
And I said this a few shows ago, I mean, maybe 2 weeks ago, that the reason that he hadn't been moved is because there wasn't a big market for him. And like, we try to soften things when it comes to these conversations, but the market tells you what you're worth. Yeah. Now, there can be circumstances, you know, maybe everybody has a quarterback, but that wasn't the case.
Like, at all.
The quarterback market was barren.
Yeah.
There are going to be a lot of quarterbacks drafted. There'll be quarterbacks that are overdrafted because of how much they want this position. The backup quarterback role is an incredibly important position that we've seen even rise in importance over the past couple years because teams will build and then they lose their guy and that guy has to step in and continue to play and they're expected to continue to win just because you are the backup quarterback. So all of that being said, the market still didn't reflect a heavy desire for Justin Fields. And apparently there were some other places that were interested. Yeah. But to Shady's point, if this is the deal that you went with, now there were some reports that they did want to send him there and they had some conversations about wanting to send him to a place where it was a good situation for him.
Right. Yeah.
Which I think is a reflection of who Justin Fields is as a player and as a teammate and a professional, that teams don't have to do that. They try to get the best deal for their team. They don't care about you as a player or as a person or what's going to happen for you.
Yeah.
It's a competitive marketplace. They really shouldn't take that into consideration. So I think it is a good thing and a good reflection
too.
On him.
I like that. Yeah,
yeah, that they took that into consideration in sending him to the Steelers, which is a good place. But I'm not really surprised. I mean, we saw Mac Jones go for a 6th round pick. Mm-hmm. And if you want to, I mean, I don't want to get into whether.
Don't get into it. No, you can get into it if you want.
I mean, team success wise, I mean, he did make it to the playoffs.
Pro bowler.
Wow. I mean, but hold up.
Yeah.
Nah, Mac Jones ain't that good either, though.
No.
But I will get him.
I think that Justin Fields is more talented than Mac Jones.
But I will give him a Now, he's not, I just said he's not that good either.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is he's been up and down with the coaching staff, so defensive coach, went to the office. But I'm just saying, yeah. So I do, because he showed me some flashes of, okay, wow, maybe he could play a little bit. Oh, okay, maybe take his team to the playoffs. Okay, maybe, right? He did show me a little bit.
Yeah.
And then we seen the whole service size. Yeah. He wasn't that good.
Right.
All I'm saying is this. Mac Jones went for what? Sixth rounder?
Sixth rounder. Mm-hmm.
Justin Fields went sixth rounder.
Sixth rounder.
I ain't surprised. Yeah. If Zach Wilson tomorrow was trying to get traded, what you think he going for? Six, seven rounder? So it's the same thing.
Yeah.
What's the one quarterback is just a lot more talented and athletic.
Yeah, because I think Justin Fields is better than those dudes. But I am surprised.
I mean, they all the same, like, table.
I am surprised early on. Early on, when you look at these teams that needed quarterbacks, the Falcons, the Commanders, the... The Steelers before even Russ. I thought that Justin Fields would get traded for a higher draft pick early on. Obviously, I know. Being a part of free agency, the longer you wait, the lesser the price.
That's true.
So now that I see him go for a sixth round when all these teams got able to fill the quarterback spot, I'm like, the young boy's in trouble. So the Pittsburgh Steelers did well, sixth round pick. You get a really good backup quarterback to go behind Russell Wilson, which they didn't have last year, you know. So if Russell Wilson doesn't play well.
Now, I will say this, though. Now, I will give Justin Fields some credit. I think he's a phenomenal backup. Oh, my God. Think about, now, I'm being serious. Your backup.
It's a first rounder.
I mean, that part. But I'm saying as a backup, they tend to get one or two games, right? If they can win one or two games, you're happy about that. Okay, wow. Keep my team still relevant. Keep my team still good till my starter comes back. I think it's phenomenal backup. Yeah. Think about this. Russell has a broken shoelace, knock on wood, and then Phil steps in. As a defense, you don't want to see that. Because he's so athletic, you know, they can do so many different things. You can do so many different things with him other than just throwing the ball. So I like him as a backup. Just as a starter, this sounds wild.
And not only that, when you look at Russell Wilson and you look at Justin Fields, they're similar, right? Both mobile, both can throw, both can run. They're similar. So the offense does not have to change. It's not like you're bringing in a Mac Jones and
similar.
He can't move. They're similar quarterbacks. So I love it. I love Coach Tomlin coming out saying, hey, bruh. Sit back, relax, let's develop you, let's get better. Russell Wilson is the starter, so you don't even have to come in this thing with no pressure, trying to act a fool, throw crazy passes in training camp, relax and get yourself
And you back. Don't want the conversation to be, is Russ going to be the starter, getting asked all through training camp. Let Justin look however it is that he looks. Mm-hmm. Russ is the starter. It's the end of the conversation. And you know Mike Tomlin don't like to get into it in those press conferences. Mm-hmm. I said what I said.
Yeah.
Coming up.
All right, walk off.
Give you that crazy little look.
All right, everybody
next question.
Talking about Kyrie Irving's game-winning shot. Did the Mavs prove they have enough to compete for a title this season? And don't forget, you can check us out every day on the Fox Sports channel on SiriusXM.
Slick. Love this move. Talk about it all day.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Everyone's talking about the end of the Mavs-Nuggets game on Sunday. Kyrie Irving hit an amazing 21-foot lefty hook shot. Amazing, right, Slick? In the closing
seconds
for the game winner, amazing shot. Dallas is now in the seventh seed in the West, and they've got the attention of Magic Johnson, who posted, "I want to put the Western Conference on notice. The Dallas Mavericks, coached under Hall of Famer Jason Kidd, are a different team with the additions of Washington, Lively, and Gafford. Watch out for them in the playoffs. Watch out, Slick." We've got Fox NBA analyst Slick Rick Bucher.
Slick. Hey, I thought this was the big story. I'm back.
We're back.
Slick. Appreciate it.
Now, I warn the people, though. What you've been saying about that shot, so.
You got to give it a buck.
She asked you. Yeah, be honest.
Well, I guess we should start there. It was an amazing shot.
It was. No. Look, he's right-handed.
Yes.
He shot, I guarantee you, he has not shot that shot in an NBA game before in his life. Mm. And to hit it as the game winner over Nikola Jokic's fingertips.
Who is how tall?
And wingspan.
Yeah.
But add a couple inches to that, right? No. I mean, Luka's like, I can't believe that happened, right? And we know Luka can do some magic. So For me, yes, amazing shot. But
did it prove they have enough?
Don't do the butt slinger.
I'll answer the question.
No, there's a bit of to compete for.
Brother, there is a big butt here, okay. Which is if you're telling me that Jamal Murray missing a wide open 14 footer, and then Kyrie Irving hitting a 18 foot offhand rolling hook over Jokic is the proof that the Dallas Mavericks are going to take down the Denver Nuggets and come out of the Western Conference, I would say those dots do not connect. So, look, I love the Dallas Mavericks and what they've been since the trade deadline. The Luka Doncic, Kyrie Irving combination has been far more successful. And what I really appreciate, you're going to love this, my movie mogul over there, because you give me that dictator vibes, sort of, is...
It's like passer.
Yeah.
He went to church.
You did go to church.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, some of that too.
Amen.
No, I appreciate that we are getting to appreciate Kyrie Irving, the player. There have been no distractions. There's been nothing to take away. Yeah. And so now we can just sit back and look at him and say, that dude can ball. Yeah. Like, that guy can do some things that nobody else in the league can do. Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm appreciating.
I like the Mavs slick. I don't know.
Really?
I know we all want to believe in someone other than the Nuggets, right? Because the Nuggets are like, okay, like we
get it.
We get it. Yeah. So we want to believe in someone else.
Same old, same old.
And I've been same old, same old. I don't know if they've gone that far, but they're just so dominant. They're so good that we want things to be interesting, and we hope that someone can make it interesting against them, because that's what the playoffs are all about, and that's what we're talking about here. Can they compete for a title this season? Nuggets have a lot, and I understand, even though they beat them, that's not necessarily how it's going to go in a seven-game series.
Hell of a formula.
But the last six games, the Mavs have been pretty interesting. They're excellent in the clutch. In fact, they have the best clutch record of any team this season. They're 19-8, which is a game that is within 5 points with 5 minutes left. So they're excellent when it gets down and it's tight, which is how a lot of those games in the postseason go.
True.
Last six games, they've been great. And I think that's a trend that you want to have going into the postseason. So we know at the top level they have an incredible amount of talent. They have two of the best players on the planet. And if they can play at a high level, if they're healthy and they're continuing with this trend, I do think there's someone that could be interesting. I really hesitate to say that anybody has a chance against the Nuggets, because they do look that dominant. But somebody's got to make it interesting, right? And I think that they have enough to make it interesting. But Shady, what do you think? They have enough to compete for a title?
I'm going to say yes. It's going to be hard to beat them boys in a seven-game series, right? Now, they always talk about defense, but it's really about the offense. And the last time I checked, they ranked top five in offense. The last time I checked, it's about three-ball shooting, right? Used to be all in the paint. Now we're shooting three balls, correct? Everything is a three-ball. And they are third in the NBA in that. And if you have two scorers that when the game gets tight, you need scoring, you need answers, right? You have them. You got Luka and you got Kyrie, and they are playing. So, for me, it's going to be hard. I mean, besides, I think Kyrie's great, but it ain't just me. Can we talk to some of his peers? Can we show it? Can we show what Dame Lillard said? Kyrie, the most skilled mother effer ever, bruh.
Ever.
And then, when a young man says bruh at the end, he means it. That's like a period. Bruh. So I'm saying like this. Kyrie Irving is that special.
Man. Yeah.
When the clutch time comes, he can give you buckets. Yeah. And if he gets tired, and if he got the best defender on him, we going to Luka.
Yeah.
You can't have two elite defensive players on the team. That rarely ever happens. You got one main stopper, and you got guys that play defense. So I'm going with the Mavericks as far as a lower-seeded team, right, that has a chance to go to the Western Conference Finals to give the Nuggets maybe a shot. I'm going with them.
Wow.
I agree with Dame Dalla, with Kyrie Irving being
holla,
the most skilled, one of the most skilled players ever, because the dude is absolutely special. But 39-29 in the playoff in the play-in tournament shows me that you're an inconsistent basketball team. When you're an inconsistent basketball team, you cannot go into the playoffs and beat good basketball teams. Mm. If you're asking me for one game, Kyrie and Luka, I'll take them. If you're asking me over a series to win four games and beat good basketball teams, I'm not ready to say that the Dallas Mavericks are a team that's ready to beat those good basketball teams. You're in the play-in game,
yeah,
right? You still have to win a game to get into this tournament. So They're just an inconsistent basketball team, and they've been like that all season. And I understand that they've caught a little fire, played a little bit more consistent, you know. But with that being said, I cannot see them beating the Nuggets in a seven-game series. I can't see them beating the Timberwolves in a seven-game series. They're just inconsistent. If it's one game on the line and I got two premier scores and offensive players, sure, I'll take the Dallas Mavericks. But in a series, I cannot do it. I'm not ready to say that.
Real quick, because you said something about inconsistent teams, right? Mm-hmm. And we've seen inconsistent teams. Goes to the Western Conference Finals. Yep. Last year, the Lakers. Yeah. Super inconsistent. Mm-hmm. That's all we talk about.
Yeah.
Like, roller coaster. Where they end up at. Play into the Western Conference Finals. Oh, and yeah. Then I'll give you an even better one. My Warriors in 2022 championship, right? We play the Mavs. I'm a Warrior fan. Warriors fan, Sixers fan.
What day is it?
Hold up.
Because it changes
every day. No.
We play the Warriors.
I'm sorry, I want to say
Suns
wait. The Warriors played the Mavericks in the Western Conference Finals, right? I didn't have the Mavericks going that far. Did you? Mm-hmm. I know you didn't.
Yep, look.
And what did they do? Right. Everybody jumped on the back of Luka, right? Mm-hmm. And he carried them. Mm-hmm. They beat the Suns like it was nothing. Mm-hmm. So I'll say this. If you're talking about being inconsistent and the team getting better as the year goes on, later in the year, it's got to be the Mavericks.
Just because it happened.
I know you're better. Just don't bet on it.
Yeah, exactly. Just because it happened doesn't mean that you would bet on it. And as a gambling man yourself, okay. I know that you take the approach of what is most likely to happen. And while having two closers is a benefit, mm-hmm. you do have to have defense.
Yes, you do.
You do have to get stops. In order to win four times in a series, and any series, mm-hmm. there are times where you've got to say, we got to get a stop. And that's where the Mavs come up short.
That's the issue?
That's where they are challenged at this point.
Mm. Well, they are seventh in defensive rating in the last six games.
That was my last point.
This is where we're going. I haven't been here for a couple of days. I'm saying that's the trend. I don't think that's cherry picking. I think they've made a significant jump. First 62 games, they were 23rd in defensive ranking.
Okay.
You're correct.
Yes.
So they're getting better. They're improving towards the end of the season.
Okay.
Again, I'm not saying that they are now title favorites and the Nuggets should be terrified because of how this one game went.
Yeah.
Although I do think they will respect how this game went. I think that when you're talking about a seven-game series and going into the postseason, if they end up going through the play-in tournament and getting there, that they are a team that's very serious because of what they have and the way that they're trending right now.
Yeah.
Like, this is a very long season. What they were at the beginning of the season, what they are now, are two different teams.
That's fair.
Who plays who in the play-in? Does seven play 10?
No, seventh plays eighth, ninth plays 10.
Okay, so Mavericks, Suns right now, y'all taking Mavericks to beat them in that one game?
I think we're coming back to that.
We'll come back to that.
We're going to have that conversation.
But I will say this, though. Even if you watched the game last night, all right, they out-rebound the Nuggets 20-37. That's crazy. And then we all talk about the three-point ability of the Mavericks. Yo, they killed them in the paint. 62 points to 38 points. So when you ask me about the Mavericks, they got everything they need to win. I guess you can't see it because they have been not as consistent like you would like.
Right.
But, man, we don't care about none of that. All we care about is a seven-game series. How many times can you beat this team? How many times can that team beat you? And you look at the matchups. Always look at matchups in any sport. That's what matters. Mm. It's going to be hard to match up with them boys.
Yeah, the play-in tournament in the West is going to be
nuts.
Interesting. We do want to ask, though, because they played an MVP.
Mm. Yeah.
And that MVP thinks that Luka deserves to be the MVP.
Uh-oh.
The game. Joker said, I think he deserves to be the MVP 100%, but it's not my decision.
Yeah, yeah.
Obviously. You are a voter.
Yes, yes.
How do you feel about Luka for MVP, Slick?
Well, in my latest Fox Sports MVP ranking.
Okay, plug that.
I have Luka Doncic third, which is the highest that he has been this late in the season for me. He is having arguably his best season ever. So I appreciate that what he's done. But come on now. This is some Euro love going on right here. If you saw them at the All-Star weekend, right? They are boys. And so Jokic doesn't care about awards, but it's Jokic's to lose. And if anybody's challenging him, it's the boy from Oklahoma City,
but
Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Shai's
up there. Are you putting him at three because of record?
No, because I think overall, I mean, talk about what they've done the last seven, eight games. He had a streak of like seven triple doubles.
Yeah.
30-point triple double.
His shooting percentages have gone up, and maybe the best thing is I see him utilizing his teammates more than he ever has, which is just the growth process. We forget how young he is, relatively. So overall, can I see Luka winning an MVP at some point? Yes. This year? Nah.
Mm. Well, it's also tough because of where they are in the standings.
Well, it's impossible, based on voting, that he's going to win with them being in the play-in. That's just not... Russell Westbrook did it once when he averaged...
He averaged a triple-double, and they were the sixth seed.
I got Shea up there, too, though. I got Shea as winning for me. I mean, he has... Okay, bro. Mm. The Thunder is number one in the Western Conference.
They're bouncing back and forth.
There ain't no Westbrook. There ain't no Kevin Durant. There ain't no James Harden. It's Shea and y'all young guys. And he got these guys playing.
Fair.
Look at the beginning of the season, so where they at now. I'd have never seen the Thunder being this.
No doubt.
Shea really doing it, man. And he's a big reason why this team is number one in the conference. So I'm giving it to him.
Well, coming up, the Cowboys worked on Dak Prescott's deal, but it's not a long-term extension. Should Dallas commit to Dak beyond this year? That's next on Speak.
I'm not mad at that call. It's me.
Shady, you have said a lot about Dak Prescott.
Maybe they couldn't hear me.
What was it you said?
When the lights are bright, Dak Prescott, he's going to play ass.
ass. You know it's January record?
Ass.
Oh. You know how he played last night?
How?
Ass.
Dak Prescott, is he still elite? Yes or no?
Who looks worse in the loss?
Sorry.
We need to look at Dak Prescott number four. And now, if you can't hear me then,
you can hear me now.
Well, the Cowboys have been busy. They reportedly reworked Dak's contract to create $4 million in cap space. He is set to enter the final year of his current deal. So we've got Fox NFL analyst Dave Hellman. Someone who's been around the Cowboys for many, many years. Dave.
I know I'm back on Speak when I'm here to talk about Dak Prescott.
Dak Prescott.
That's how I know it's real.
Well, you're in for it.
Here we go.
This segment, Dave.
Don't I know it? With an intro like that? Yeah. Come on.
Dave, tell the truth.
Dave.
And shame the devil. Should the Cowboys commit to Dak Prescott beyond this year? Should.
Should. Yes, I do think they should. Dave. But here's awesome. Look, a lot of time has passed since
I was
here.
How do you get to the first 5 seconds of your answer and already say but?
Because I think there's a difference. I do think there's a difference because, look, what happened in January was real. The Cowboys got run off the field by the seventh seed. Dak Prescott did not play well in that game. There's half a dozen reasons why they lost it. But you cannot ignore the role that he played. And y'all know I'll get up here and ignore some stuff if I need to. Mm-hmm. In this case, you can't do it. And do I think Dak Prescott is still a fantastic quarterback? Absolutely. Do I think you can win a Super Bowl with him? Absolutely. It depends on the price. But here is why I go to a but, because I think the conversation has changed in terms of it's not so much about how good is Dak Prescott. For me, it's really what other choice do the Dallas Cowboys have? Mm. They are at a crossroads with a 30-year-old, All-pro quarterback. I'm back on Speak. I remember you say, what do you say? It's hard to do. If we say it for Jalen Hurts, we're sure going to say it for Dak. It's hard to do.
But if it takes you 8 years to get one All-pro.
No.
I
don't care if it takes you 20 years. He's an All-pro.
No. I'm saying the question was, is in 8 years.
And he's coming off of an All-pro.
8 years to get one All-pro. Is that hard to do? I'm just trying to figure it out.
Does 30, James.
I didn't get an All-pro, so I'm going to say it's hard to do. 8 years, 10 years.
Does the age of 30 still count as your prime when you play quarterback?
Yes.
I think so, too. So it's easy to bet on that. But the part that goes back to it for me, like I said, okay, the guy played well enough to be all pro, regardless of how legit or not legit you think that is. I think Dak is still one of the 10 or so best quarterbacks in the NFL. And on top of that, the Cowboys don't have a lot of other options. Mm-hmm. They restructured his contract. You brought that up. That brings his cap hit up to $40 million in 2025 if they let him walk away. That's how much the Cowboys would be paying Dak to not be on their team next year. They can't trade him without his say-so, and they can't tag him because he won that last negotiation big time.
Mm-hmm.
Dak Prescott has all the leverage here. So, yes, I think he's a good quarterback, but more so than that, I think he's easily the Cowboys' best option for at least the next 2 or 3 years.
Shady? Should the Cowboys commit to Dak beyond this year?
That's a hard question for me. It was easy for Dave. That's pretty hard for me. I just think about this. If it's a yes, what's that number, right? Because one thing we've seen about with Dak Prescott is he's going to do well in the regular season. Mm-hmm. He's good at that. Regular champion, he's going to give you that. May win the division. He's done that. Mm-hmm. We get to the playoffs when it really matters, when the lights are on, number four. Mm-hmm. He always seems to fail. So that leads me to this point. You give him all this money knowing what the results are. So it's an expensive losing effort at the end. True facts. And then when you look at the team, right, you got to pay Michael Parsons. He going to need his money. And I would pay him now before paying him later because you know how that check's going to go. Then you got a guy like Zach Martin, who's probably your second best player on offense, depending on how you look at it, maybe one. CeeDee Lamb's another one. So all these guys got to get paid. And the main position, the quarterback that y'all keep talking about paying, every time we get to the heat and the fire of this thing and it gets serious, he loses the game for us. Picks with the Niners and San Fran last year, and then this year with this pass, picks at home against Green Bay. So I hear what Dave says is that one thing I've seen with this Dallas Cowboys team, Dak Prescott plays well in the regular season, but he gets to the postseason, he always shows up.
You know,
and when he show up, James, it ain't good.
You know, it's crazy because who should we pay then, like, to be a franchise quarterback? Because if we're talking about winning Super Bowls, Joy says it all the time. It's one dude getting there consistently and winning a Super Bowl. Matthew Stafford stole one in between there, but Patty Mahomes is the one that's consistently getting there. We got other guys like the Jalen Hurts, the Josh Allens, the Lamar Jacksons and all that, the Kirk Cousins who just got paid, Baker Mayfield who just got paid. They ain't getting there like that. Mm-mm. So when it comes to Dak Prescott, the dude is coming off an all-pro year. Runner-up to the MVP, however you want to slice and dice it, that's what it was. Mm-hmm. And we sitting here talking about this dude shouldn't get paid. A lot of quarterbacks is not just walking into the Super Bowl or coming in here and just leading their teams to playoff victories and all that. Like, Dak Prescott played at a very, very high level last year, whether we like it or not. And we're sitting here paying Baker Mayfield and Kirk Cousins and all these other dudes, and we're talking about not paying Dak Prescott? That's crazy
to
me.
But it's not about paying Dak Prescott. It's about committing to Dak Prescott.
4 years, 180, committing for one playoff win? And we talking about not paying Dak?
First of all, Dak has been paid.
He has. And he's going to get paid again.
He has been paid. And when he was up to get paid, I was singing a different tune because Dak should have gotten paid. And Dak should have gotten paid before Ezekiel Elliott. And had they done that, which is what you're supposed to do, they wouldn't be in this situation right now.
Yeah.
So because the Cowboys like to do everything the way the Cowboys like to do things, they're in this situation with Dak Prescott right now. But the difference is, James, mm-hmm. when we pay Baker Mayfield, mm-hmm. not we, because I ain't writing none of these checks, yeah. when they pay Baker Mayfield, when they pay Kirk Cousins, who else just got paid? Any of these guys that just got
Geno
paid?
Geno Smith last year.
Geno yeah. Smith. I don't talk about those teams like they go into the Super Bowl. I think they deserve to get paid. Those guys have earned their money. I'm not writing these checks. Make all of your money. Make it. Get it. To Kirk Cousins, like, hats off. I think it's incredible that he keeps getting paid, as he should. But I don't talk about those teams like they're going to the Super Bowl either. So it's fine to pay them. Everyone has a salary cap. They have money. They're supposed to pay people. People get paid. They get paid what the market says you get paid. All those things are true. I don't think I'm happy that Dak Prescott played the level he played. I'm happy he got an All-Pro. I'm happy he had the season he had. But if I'm the Dallas Cowboys and I'm talking, because he's always talking about Super Bowls and Super Bowls, you've been to the NFC Championship game. In 29 years, we rounded up to 30 because it's easier to say.
We should just start rounding up because I can't
round up,
keep track.
Okay? It's the close point to is, all these other teams, you're not betting on the Falcons going to the Super Bowl. You're not betting on the Seahawks going to the Super Bowl. We're not starting those conversations about the Bucs. We're talking about can the Bucs even win their division? We don't even know if they're going to win their division.
Right.
So the difference is what the Cowboys talk about doesn't match what they do. All those other teams are not held to Super Bowl expectations. In fact, if they got to the Super Bowl, it would be an incredible success that we would honor with that. But the Cowboys walk into every single year expecting to be there. And why shouldn't they? They have 9 all pros. Look at this roster.
Come on, man. 9 all pros, James.
And the quarterback is one of them.
Bro, but
you're right, James. They got 8 other all pros.
No question.
But having 9 all pros, all right, and you're the quarterback of that team, you got the biggest brand in sports. And every year, y'all do the same thing. Y'all have great moments in the regular season. Y'all smoke all these teams, right? Y'all do so well. Mm-hmm. Every other year, y'all might win a division. All great things, right? Because the Falcons, if they did that, we're parading them. Baker Mayfield took his playoffs. They were 9-8. He had a good year, whatever. We praised him, right? You the Cowboys. You got 9 all pros. So when you saying just get into the playoffs is not enough. Winning one game is not enough. Winning no games is not enough. So I'm ready for the Cowboys to be in a Super Bowl because that's where they belong with the talent they have, with the type of team and the type of following. They should be a Super Bowl team.
No question.
And I'm saying when you talk about paying this quarterback, if you ask me, should Dak get a paycheck? For sure. But when you're talking about getting paid at the highest of the market, with the mother dudes and all that, yeah. I need some wins and some playoff
wins. But at the end of the day, Shady, you know that that ain't how it works. Dak Prescott is going up there with these all-pro stuff. So I need to be paid at an all-pro level. I need to be paid more than Kirk Cousins. I'm all-pro. I don't care how y'all look at it. I don't care if I ain't one of the players.
And if I'm Dak, I'm going in with like the same thing. I'm walking in there with all the same material you got.
No
and the agent better say all that. What I'm saying is, we need to stop talking about them like they're a Super Bowl contending team. You can't get smoked by the youngest team in the NFL in the postseason with an up-and-coming quarterback at home.
No doubt.
When all this other stuff, when you got 8 other All-Pros, this is the best year of your career. I'm hearing you. He deserves to get paid. He earned all of it. I just don't need to talk about the Cowboys like a serious team. You can't have it both ways. We don't consider the Falcons to be a team that's ready to compete for a Super Bowl. They've gotten better. They're more serious about competing. They made moves. Love that. They are an ascending team. These are ascending teams. Yeah. The Cowboys' expectation is Super Bowl, but you're doing the same things that these other teams are doing.
But like Shady said, though, it's hard not to talk about them of winning a Super Bowl because you have 9 All-Pros. It's not – is there any team last year that could say that? 9 All-Pros on the team. So that's why we're talking about them like that because they got such a good roster.
Let's – and this is what I keep going back to. Let's game this out, Joy, because I hear you. I mean, I'm tired of being in the middle of this. You think I want to come to work after they lose to the Packers?
Yes.
I want to be here after that.
Go, Pack, go.
But let's game this out. Like, as unserious as you might think the Cowboys are with Dak, and I don't think they're that serious based on what they aren't doing elsewhere in free agency, by the way. That's a whole different conversation, letting good players walk out the door. But who deserves to be taken more seriously? A Cowboys team that pays Dak Prescott, an all-pro, a guy who's never had a losing record, a guy who has been the 1, 2, 3, and 4 seed, I believe, NFL playoffs.
Facts.
5 playoff trips in 7 healthy seasons. Okay, say what you... That's all just statistically true.
Yeah, it's true.
Or if they let him walk out the door, what is the alternative? And I want to know so badly. Because Dak's good enough, they ain't going to have a shot at a Caleb Williams or a Drake May. Are you kidding me? They're not going to be there. Mm-hmm. They're not going to have the money to pay somebody else. Because if they could, they can't even potentially pay Dak. We're paying him $40 million not to be there. Who are they going to get? Best case scenario, if Dak Prescott isn't on this team next year, they go to Trey Lance and his 4 career starts. And they say, hey, Trey, how's a 1 or 2 year $10 to $15 million prove it deal seem. Does that sound like something we should take seriously?
No. Dave.
Not to me.
You've been around a long time, Dave. In the NFL, when you want something to happen, it gets done. I've seen a lot of crazy trades happen before, haven't you?
Absolutely.
Okay, so let's not
I mean, if,
let's
if
not
you want to if you want to make the Bryce Young trade, let's give
not,
up
let's
a
not
bunch
sit here
picks.
On this desk at like the NFL, you don't see a lot of surprising trades, surprising cuts. It happens all the time. Oh, this cap hit's too big. We've seen teams move from players with big cap hits. So let's not sit up here and lie to the people because I won't do it.
Are we doing any segments?
I will not do it.
Are we doing any segments about the Denver Broncos and their Super Bowl hopes right now? No, we're not.
Who are the Cowboys going to trade Dak Prescott for, though, and get better, though?
Well,
they can't trade him.
Get better for what? Wait, get better on what part?
He hasn't been saying
because they do the same thing every postseason.
I'm saying, what's the difference between the Steelers and the Cowboys this year? Nothing.
Ooh, that's every
what was
team,
the Steelers? What was the difference between the Steelers and the Cowboys last year? Nothing. Ooh. The Steelers and the Cowboys had the exact same season last year. The only difference is Dak.
See, that I think that's just differing philosophy on your and my part.
Did the Steelers lose in the first round of the playoffs?
They did.
What are the
were
the
Steelers entertaining or fun to watch at any point last season?
This guy is saying.
I'm talking about fun to watch.
I'm talking about this Disney special.
Hold on.
I don't care about no fun to watch.
I do.
Shady.
So, cut it back to me. I would definitely care about that.
How did the Dallas Cowboys season end last year?
They lost in the first round.
How did the Steelers season end last year?
They lost in the first round.
Who was playing quarterback for the Steelers?
A lot of guys.
Mitchell, Trubisky.
So what I'm saying is, I'm not saying that the Cowboys and the Steelers are the same team, but I'm saying that that proves my point. This is a team that we talk about should be going to the Super Bowl, competing for the Super Bowl, and you're doing the same thing as the Pittsburgh Steelers, who went through three different quarterbacks, just traded the quarterback they drafted in the first round, and went out and got Russell Wilson, who just left a team that they're paying him $40 million not to play for. The point is, if you can do all these things, Cowboys. Just, I'm tired of talking about them as Super Bowl contenders. We got to put them with the rest of the guys.
A lot of teams doing the same thing.
And we don't talk about them competing for a Super Bowl.
You're talking about the Dallas Cowboys and 9 All Pros, and they have a shot to win it. Do they get it done? No, because they got smoked by the Packers, by your team. But they have a shot to win it.
Coming up, we ain't never gonna agree on this.
No.
Coming up, Dame Time showed up in a big way against the Suns. Were we more impressed by the Bucks or disappointed in Kevin Durant's Suns? That's next on Speed.
That's a Shady McGrady bucket right there. Ooh, is that from the logo?
Let's get back to the NBA. Damian Lillard carried the Bucks against the Suns yesterday with 31 points and 16 assists. Kevin Durant finished with only 11 points and 0 in the fourth quarter, and the Bucks got the big win without their superstar Giannis Antetokounmpo.
That's a big win. Giannis?
140.
Shady, are you impressed with Dame's Bucks or disappointed in KD's Suns?
I'm going with impressed with the Bucks win, right? You talk about not having Giannis and still getting a big win like that against a really, really good team and talented team with the Suns. Damian Lillard is a hell of a player, right? What are you dropping, 31? 16 assists? 16 assists. 31. Can I say it again? 31 and 16 assists? Yeah. All trade balls, threes, whatever you need. And he's warming up. I think he's hitting his stride at the right time, getting ready for the postseason. Well, we haven't seen Dame play at his best, right? We've seen some good moments against OKC. Right, when he's with Portland, send him home, right, over Paul George. We've seen some good moments, but we haven't seen him on a big stage playing with a contender, a good team. We always knew the Blazers, no matter where they went in the playoffs, they were going to lose to somebody. Now with the Bucks, a top team in the East, we want to see it. I want to see the matchup against them in the Sixers, against them in the Boston Celtics. I want to see it. So I'm happy for Dame, big win. I like that better than the disappointment from the Suns. And we're going to see in the playoffs what time it is, because Dame, he always checks that clock when it's time to hit that big shot.
Slick?
I am disappointed in the Phoenix Suns, without question. Not just this game, but big picture. But I am more impressed with the Milwaukee Bucks and what they have been, because this isn't the first time that they've won without Giannis.
Right.
And it actually kind of puts Damian back into his comfort zone, where he's the guy and can just run it. I think one of the challenges he's had is trying to figure out how do I fit in with Giannis. But I did not expect the Milwaukee Bucks to be this good. And a case can be made that they're actually better than they were last season when they won at like a 70% rate. If you look at their defensive rating and their offensive rating, last year compared to this year, they're a different team. Their strength is at the offensive end, which you would expect, changing out taking Damian Lillard in for Drew Holiday. But overall, they haven't fallen off as much defensively as they've improved offensively. And I thought losing Drew Holiday was going to impact them defensively to the point where Damian wasn't going to be able to make up for it. And what they've proven offensively is that they have. Now, how that plays out in the playoffs, that remains to be seen. But this is a better overall Milwaukee Bucks team than I expected when they traded out Drew Holiday.
Yeah, I hear you. It was really impressive, but especially without Giannis. But I'm disappointed in the Suns.
Come on now. Come on.
I mean, you got everyone contributing. Everyone's healthy. And it is a rare night for KD. Like, he's the god, right? Like, he's not gonna consistently have these nights. But you can't have these nights right now is the problem, or days in this case.
And there's been some of these nights throughout the season.
You He scored more than 11 points 1,237 times in his career. Mm. This is a rare night. Mm. But you can't have it right now, and especially when everyone else is contributing. And you're playing against a really good team that doesn't have their best player. Mm-hmm. And even going down to it, if Durant just averages what he's been averaging all season long, they don't lose this game.
And you're in the play-in. Yeah. Like,
and you're in the play-in.
You have reason to be playing.
Exactly. Like, right this is a time. That's what I'm saying. Like, you can't afford to have this kind of performance. Now, I'm not going to kill KD, obviously, because, like I said, this is a rare showing from him. But the Suns are just a team that I think have a lot of potential. And it just seems like it's keep, just it's like it's going, and it's like this. It's just it's a sputtering engine. Mm-hmm. And I get it. They have an older roster, although the Bucks have the oldest roster in the league.
They do.
So that's not that much of an excuse either. I just want to see the Suns put it all together. So this was a really disappointing loss.
Yeah, this is disappointing for the Suns. Number one, we are at a time where you got to have it. There ain't no time to be chilling, relaxing, and like we got games to give up. You are in the play-in tournament right now. You have to win these games. And even the last couple games, you lose by 15 to Boston, then 10 to Boston, and then you give up 140. To the Milwaukee Bucks without Giannis, one of the best players in the NBA. Yeah, yeah. This shows me that, number one, mindset-wise, coach of this team, whatever, like, y'all playing around, y'all relaxing and all that. Oh, no Giannis there. We just came off of losing to the Celtics twice by double digits. And then you go out here and play like this. This is embarrassing. You have three all-stars on your team. Premier scorers on your team with Bradley Beal, Booker, and KD. Yeah. And y'all getting treated like this in games to where you have to have it? Like, come on, man. This is embarrassing. This is disappointing.
Was.
This is all of it. I don't even know the words to say. But come on, Suns.
I have words for you. You know
come
what this
on,
was?
Please.
This has Clippers vibes. A lot of big names, a lot of talent. Mm. And in fact, the Clippers, not too long ago, lost the Milwaukee Bucks on their home floor without Giannis Antetokounmpo playing. And that's my issue. Look, I guess the reason why I'm more impressed with the Bucks is because I'm not all that surprised at what's happening with the Suns. I thought they would be a better regular season team because they would just overwhelm teams with their scoring ability. Mm-hmm. And they've done that. But as far as a team that can contend, all their strength is in one place. They can score. Mm-hmm. They're fifth in the league in field goal percentage. Bradley Beal is shooting over 50%. Kevin Durant is shooting over 50%. Devin Booker's shooting 49%. Yusuf Nurkic is shooting over 50%. Like, all across the board, they shoot the ball well. They just don't do anything else very well. They don't play make. They're like, for all that scoring, they're 13th in assists, right? Yeah. They don't rebound well. Mm. They don't defend well. Like, and they need more balance. All of their strength is in one particular place. It's like an NFL team that can, like, go up and down the field. Mm-hmm. But they're going to let the other team go up and down the field too, and they have one way to win, is to outscore you.
So it sounds like you're saying it's over for them.
Well, they've been hurt too, though. Can we throw that in there a little bit? They've been injured. They've been banged up.
Yeah.
All three of them.
I'm not saying that they can't be better. I'm just saying that they haven't. Like, show me that you can defend. Like, because, look, defending is basically energy and effort.
That's it.
Can I ask you this then, Slick, because you're the basketball genius here. If you're a coach and all these things you talked about is true, right? Do you want to see this team fully healthy? That's the thing, though. Because the regular season don't matter, though. Cowboys showed you that. That don't matter regular season. Mm. It's all about what you do in the postseason. Mm. If you up and down, all you do is score, you can't play no defense.
Yeah.
We get in this playoffs, and it's you against this team at the best out of seven. Do you really want to see them playing, the Suns? Do you want to face them?
No.
That's what I'm saying.
Without question, they can be dangerous.
Maybe you do.
Right? But if we go back to the question, like the Milwaukee Bucks have been a team that I did not expect them to be overall, just talent wise. And the Phoenix Suns have also not been the team that I expected to see, but in the other direction.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, if KD just scores what he averages, we're not having this conversation today. Yeah. And we're not even really mad at the Bucks because Giannis wasn't there. But they have to do that in the postseason if, you know, they make it to this play-in tournament, which is going to be
it's going to be fire.
Coming up, we have a lot more on Justin Fields. What grade are we giving his former team, the Bears, this offseason? They've made some interesting moves.
That's next. Great job.
been making a lot of headlines this offseason. They recently traded Justin Fields to the Steelers, but that's not it. They also signed DeAndre Swift and traded for Keenan Allen. Dave, what grade do you give the Bears this offseason?
I know this sounds weird because I know what the Bears have been through recently, but an A.
Hey.
An A. The Chicago Bears are an exciting football team. Mm. I don't remember the last time we said that. Probably when they traded for Justin Fields, which we don't have to go down that road. But
I now
that we officially know that the Bears have not screwed this up, which is what they would have done if they had tried to keep these two quarterbacks on the roster together, or Lord forbid if they had kept Justin Fields and traded out of number one. Now that we know that they're going to get it right, the Bears are a very exciting team. It's an A across the board for me. Yeah.
It's an A for me, too. And I would go back to an A last year as well, because they stuck with Justin Fields, which I thought was the right choice. Mm-hmm. They didn't take Bryce Young. Through that trade, they got DJ Moore and they drafted Darnell Wright. And because the Panthers were as bad as they were, they now have an opportunity to get a generational talent, Caleb Williams, which is the it couldn't have worked out better for them. Now, obviously, the best case scenario would have been that Justin Fields was a franchise quarterback and there were no questions. But being that that wasn't the case, this has been brilliant. A plus plus this year.
Plus.
I love all the moves that they're making. They're bringing in pieces that can assist a young quarterback. This is tremendous.
This is what they should have done for Justin Fields.
I think they tried.
I think the difference here is what you're seeing is Justin Fields was. I don't like that.
I think they tried.
Justin Fields was brought in to try to save some jobs, because I think that gets lost in the shuffle. Justin Fields was a pick made by the last regime before Ryan Poles got there.
Yeah, that's true.
Before Matt Eberflus got there, that was a pick to save some jobs. Whereas this is the final. I don't want to say final, but this is the most important part of Ryan Poles' plan when he got here. When he got to Chicago to try to fix what was going on there. Something like this is what he had in mind. You're right. It was smart to keep Justin Fields last year. We'll get this guy something to work with. We'll add some talent to our roster. We'll see what we have in Justin Fields. And the answer was, we still don't have a franchise quarterback. And because of what they did last year, they're in position to fix it right away. Everything that they have done here over the last 12, 13 months looks really, really smart right now.
Shady? Grabe?
You know what kills me about these conversations?
What?
Everybody always says, man, they got to give him more help. He needs more help. Justin Fields, we're talking about.
Right.
And I feel bad for the other guys. Like, they need the help, right? Why the wide receivers don't need more help and the quarterback? Why the running back don't need help with the quarterback? Why the tight end don't need help with the quarterback? Why don't the defense need help with a good quarterback? And now they got it. So I'm going to give this team an A plus.
Plus, plus.
Okay. Yeah. Listen, in school, listen, I get a lot of A plus pluses, but today I'm giving them out. Professor McCoy said it. This is where I'm going to go to this point right here, though. You get a top three running back, in my opinion, talent-wise, for sure, and Swift, right? You get Keelan Allen, who's an A1 receiver, right? A veteran, smart, crafty. He's going to help the quarterback, make it easier for him. He's going to make everything easy for everybody. And then DJ Moore is the main go-to guy. And then they add the tight end. Cole Kmet.
Got Gerald.
Come on. So now when I look at this team, it's like, yo, they got everything they need. They need one more piece. And the reason why they got an A+, it's because they got rid of Justin Fields, and they're about to get a generational talent and quarterback, and Caleb Williams.
They also still have the number 9 overall
pick in
the NFL draft. Yes. That could be a tackle. It could be another receiver. They could trade out of that and stockpile
some
picks.
Come on, man. Yeah. Hey, I wanted them boys to sit there and stay with Justin Fields.
I did.
Huh?
No, I didn't want that.
James,
I stand up here
that.
Solo and say that.
How you doing algebra?
You know what I'm saying? It's all good.
How you doing algebra?
They asked me for the grade, A+. Because I'm going to give out an A again right now, Joy. I love what the Bears are doing right now. All right?
Geometry.
Let me stop. A+ on that, too. You know you're going to draft Caleb Williams.
Correct.
So you bring in, my humble opinion, one of the greatest route runners to ever play our game in Keenan Allen.
I will stand
up here after watching Keenan Allen's tape and a lot of receivers. Keenan Allen is like that in the middle of the football field running routes. So you give Caleb Williams a guy to work the middle of the field like Keenan Allen, who's absolutely special. Then on the outside in DJ Moore, you get a guy that has speed, that runs routes, but has big playability. The ball does not have to be perfect. I can go up here and make these 50-50 catches. And then you get a tight end that can run. a lot of the quarterbacks that I play with, when you have a tight end that can run and work the middle of the football field, that makes your offense that much better. To go out and get Gerald Everett from the Chargers is a big addition. And then, like Shady say, he has him as the number three back in the league right now. But you get Swift in the backfield that not only can just run it, but we've seen when the Eagles needed him last year, it was fly sweeps. It was passes out of the backfield. He can do everything. And to get your young quarterback with all that, I give them an A. And they made some solid additions on the defense, but to just keep it on the offense, this is an A-plus for the Bears.
It really has been a stretch for Ryan Poles, because I was unsure for a little while. They were making me uneasy about whether they were actually going to go with Caleb Williams or not. I was genuinely concerned.
You doubted it?
I did.
I would have done it, of course. But there was a time where I was unsure if they were going to get talked into keeping Justin Fields.
There's some Bears fans. They were really loud.
They scared me for a little while. But I'm really glad they moved in this direction. Not because, I'm rooting against Justin Fields, but this is a crazy scenario to be in. Like, you have an opportunity to take Caleb Williams. You do this. And I also love that they moved off of Justin Fields and they weren't greedy about it. First of all, we're talking about six-round picks like they're nothing. Like, it is a late-round draft pick. It's still a draft pick.
Yeah.
Tom Brady was a six-round draft pick. Obviously, we're talking about outliers here. Brock Purdy was the last pick in the draft. Outliers here, but it's still a draft pick. Sure. You're still going to take a player with that pick. Mm-hmm. The point of the matter is, though, you don't have Justin Fields in the building with all that noise and all that conversation when you're bringing in a new young quarterback. You don't need that. No. So move off of Justin Fields, get him in a good place, which they did in sending him to the Steelers, and put pieces around your young quarterback to set him up for success, which is something that the Bears traditionally don't do and have never had the ability to elevate a quarterback. In their entire history, they've never had a quarterback throw for more than 4,000 yards.
Yeah. So wild when you say it out loud. I mean, I knew that, but when you say it, you're just like, oh, wow.
But that's why I think we're all giving them A's. It's not just that they're going to bring in Caleb Williams and they're exciting to watch, and that's an incredibly smart and easy decision to make. But bringing in all these great players around him is what you're supposed to do with a young quarterback.
No question.
Think about this, too. I looked this up before the show. In the Super Bowl era, only one, I think two teams have ever had a better record than the Bears did last year and picked number one. Those teams had to trade up, give a lot of capital to get there. The Bears finished 7-10. Yeah. They lose to the Packers to miss a playoff spot. That's the difference between them and maybe being the seventh seed, and maybe the Cowboys actually win a playoff game. But that's the difference. This is a 7-10 team. They were not bad over the second half of the season. And now they get to add Caleb Williams on a cheap contract to that. There's so much to be excited about here. If Caleb Williams is decent, they'll be a feisty team. If Caleb Williams is great, the sky's the limit. I mean, I don't want to put a cap on what they could do if Caleb Williams is great.
And that's why I love it, too, because these dudes come from college playing with great players and great pieces around them, and then you put them in the NFL like, just go win games with regular dudes. No, in the NFL, you need dudes around you, too. So
you do,
I'm glad they're setting up Caleb Williams.
Yeah. They're making that high in the draft. They're setting him up for sure. Coming up, some big-name players are currently in the play-in tournament in the Western Conference. Luka, KD, Steph, LeBron in the play-in right now. Who has the best chance at a title? That's next. Let's speak. Luka, KD, Steph, and LeBron, marquee names in the Western Conference that are also currently in the play-in.
Crazy.
Really crazy. James, which current Western Conference play-in star is most likely to win the title this season? Luka, KD, Steph, or LeBron?
And I said it before earlier on the show, all these teams in the play-in tournament is so inconsistent. But if it's one team that I got to go with, or person that I have to go with, it's LeBron James. And the reason why it's LeBron, because last year with our own two eyes, he showed us that he can come out of this play-in tournament and get to the Western Conference Finals, and who knows what can happen from there. We know he ran into Jokic and the Nuggets and got swept. He did show us that wherever he is in this thing in the play-in, that he can get his team to the Western Conference Finals. I have not seen that from these other guys up there, so I'm going to say Bron and the Lakers, even though they have been up and down all season as well. I got most confidence in him.
Slick.
Look at this.
I know.
This is in the play-in.
Man.
This is one game or go home. This is NCAA tournament. It's crazy. I'm not mad at it. I don't know what all y'all are picking. I'm not mad at you for that. I'm going to go with Steph Curry and the Golden State Warriors.
Oh, I like it.
has less to do with Steph and more to do with the supporting cast and the fact that I don't know that we've seen their best quite yet. Jonathan Kuminga is really coming along. Andrew Wiggins has found himself a little bit, Defensively, they are better now when you got Wiggins, Kuminga, Draymond Green.
That's true.
Now that now we're talking about something.
No doubt.
And Klay Thompson has moved to the bench and he's comfortable there. Chris Paul
more
has
efficient.
Accepted his role. Like, all the pieces just seem to be coming together. Steve Kerr has figured out what his rotation is. He's been messing with it all year. Now we see Dario Saric is kind of out. Kevon Looney's out. I'm going with these young, athletic dudes who can defend. And we know that Steph can still find that magic every now and then. So, I'm not mad at whoever you say.
That's a great breakdown.
It's a roll of the dice. Yeah. But I think there might be a little magic left up in Golden State.
I mean, all these teams are struggling, right? And they're trying to climb out of that play-in. But they're all in the same boat. If I had to pick a team, I love the Warriors breakdown. I love the Warriors. But it got to be the Suns. I'm going with the better players, though. Mm-hmm. Right? Bradley Beal, Devin Booker, and the God, Kevin Durant. When they play together, they're 16 and 11, right? And then I look at them as they're the highest scoring group together. That's what they are. They're number one.
They
I can't
That's
make that
facts.
Up. Them
That's
three.
The facts.
So when if I'm looking for one team to get out of there, you got to defend this team. You got to have the right matchups. You got to have the right defenders, right? And you got to score. I got to go with the Suns.
I feel like we should give the Mavs some love because we did talk about
I love them. The Mavs some love.
Are we all picking
you
one
you
of them out of there? Are you taking them. The Mavs?
I mean, listen,
love.
We could make a pitch, as Slick said, for any of these teams and it'd be reasonable at this point because that's what it is. So I'm not mad at any of it. I'm just saying that I'm also going with the Suns. None of us went with the Mavs.
So forget the left. Game winner.
I still think that the Mavs are entirely capable, and I think that they are trending upwards right now, and they're playing better basketball than they were at the beginning of the season. Clearly, they're a different team. But what I do like about the Suns, everything Shady said, but they also have a lot of experience.
Yeah.
And when you get into the postseason and you're playing well and everyone's healthy, experience is super important to me. Their role players are playing at a high level, which is important. They're able to score as well. You got Grayson Allen shooting really well. It's hard to look at that. And I know I'm falling for it. I am. But it's hard. It's hard to look at KD and Booker and Beal and be like, if they get in, they don't have a shot.
Yeah.
It's just
Kevin Durant had 11 points. He has a less than 2% chance of scoring 11 points or less. He scores 12 points or more 98% of the time.
Come on, man.
So this is not a game that we can point to and be like, this is what he's going to do.
But if we were talking about who has the best chance of knocking off the Denver Nuggets, then I'm with you on the Phoenix Suns.
Yes.
Because of Jusuf Nurkić.
Yes. Yeah.
Because those two were teammates in Denver.
They know each other.
He knows him well. He physically has the ability to... If he's motivated and got it in the right mind, and we saw it just recently, right? He can play him.
Yeah.
And then that tilts the scales. And that's what I had always hoped, that Nurkić coming out of Portland was going to join these guys and was like, hey, you know, we didn't get it done in Portland, but that wasn't on me. Like, now I got some guys to ride with. Oh, you need me to show that Denver picked Jokic over me. Let me show you, not that I'm better than Jokic, but then I got a little something for you.
But with all that being said, this is one game, Slick. You think in the play-in, like this is
well,
one.
Well, the question isn't, you know,
game.
Which one
like,
for your
tough,
life.
It's tough to think for one game.
No, you come coming at me like
for one game, I don't see Bron losing. One game.
Right, but we talk about
who didn't watch none of the other.
No, games the 39
last
games and all.
No, so you ain't going to what you're saying. You didn't watch last year
the Western
Nuggets.
Conference Finals, though.
Yeah, they swept.
No, wait, so we're talking play-in, though. All we're talking the ones in the play-in. Yeah. They didn't sweep.
No. We talk about who's likely to win the title in the West.
Yeah.
Oh.
That's another question. Which current West play-in star most likely to win the title?
Oh, LeBron.
Yeah, like who can get...
Wait.
And then I was with you on the one game.
You gotta get out.
But
first.
Now you're talking about like he's got.
Yeah, my bad. Right. I didn't ask the question with emphasis. Not who can get out of the play-in.
Yeah.
Who can win
the West? Like who can match up with
those
teams?
Who
is going to be
teams.
The Nuggets?
Some
yes.
Teams.
And you said the Warriors.
I said the Warriors. Yes. Yeah. Well, I didn't stutter.
Didn't stutter.
What?
He ain't talking about that, Prescott. He ain't stuttering.
Hey, talk about Justin Fields.
Nah. What? No, wait, 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 wait. You are confident that the Lakers can get all the way there.
Hey, now, Slick, now look at me. Now look at me real quick, Slick.
I apologize.
I deal with this every day.
I apologize, but I didn't read that question right.
So you're not going with the Lakers?
No, I'm not going with the Lakers. I would have to go with KD and the Suns to get out of the play-in and win it.
And win the West,
and win the West and beat the Nuggets. Yes, I think they're the team that can give the Nuggets the most trouble with the three superstars. I don't think LeBron James and the Lakers is going to compete with them.
Well,
so that's my
either
fault.
Way, the play-in is going to be...
I blame that on the producers.
Spectacular. Yeah, they might be my fault. Coming up, we have a Miami Heat anniversary today. I'm going to show you what it is next on Speak. Uh-oh. 11 years ago today, LeBron James, one of the most iconic dunks in Miami Heat history, over Jason Terry.
I'd like
Miami
to report
Heat's
a murder.
23rd straight victory. It was a fortunate spot.
My dog was kind of a tough spot.
Yeah, I mean, got twisted around. I mean, this was an incredible year.
I mean, I will give him some credit, though. When they played with the Mavs against the Heat, he turned it up on them. Yeah, he turned it up on them.
Hey, he carried him in that last that closeout game.
Right here, he on a couple posters right here.
This is such a
he could have made a business decision.
You know what I mean?
You know what? He did it. He's
he don't even play defense. Why ain't he playing defense this time?
Yeah.
I don't understand that.
But, I mean, what you trying to jump
at the right time to change up.
It happens. Thanks, Blake. That's it for us.